We turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 10. Here Solomon was given the opportunity by God to ask for anything that he desired. And in 2 Chronicles 1 and verse 10, Solomon said, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great?" Solomon was asking God for wisdom and understanding in a particular realm. That is, he wanted the wisdom and understanding that he needed to judge the people of Israel. And God granted him that request and gave him a vast measure of his wisdom for that particular work that Solomon had to do as king over Israel. His wisdom does contain many different parts or covers many different areas or aspects. That is one of them there that we can see from what Solomon was seeking for. If we turn to the New Testament, to Colossians chapter 1 and see verses 9 through 11, we want to now focus our attention on a particular aspect of God's wisdom that we want to seek after, that we need to have. Colossians 1 verses 9 through 11 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." And that word "all" is used several times there in those three verses, and for a reason. But God is desiring for us to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Well, here he's teaching us and was praying for the brethren. We need to pray this for ourselves, for one another, and then seek this ourselves, to have this kind of wisdom, this kind of wisdom to do the will of God so that we can walk worthy of him unto all pleasing. And that's really the part of God's wisdom that we want to look at tonight in our study, to try to know more about or consider some points about it, some different aspects of it that we need to learn from and perhaps and hopefully do better in applying as we're seeking to fulfill the purpose of God. And that's why our lesson is entitled tonight, Wisdom for God's Purpose. And so we're wanting to see how we can grow in wisdom to be able to follow after the very purpose that God has given for us so that we can please him in everything. In Luke chapter 2, God's Son Jesus Christ came to this earth, and he did seek his Father's wisdom and grew in it. So we need to grow in this kind of wisdom, and Jesus certainly had this wisdom to be able to walk after the Lord, to fulfill his will, and to please him in all things. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 40, it says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." It then gives that description of the event when Jesus was about 12 years old, when he was in the temple in Jerusalem, and he was speaking with the people, the doctors of the law that were there, hearing them and asking them questions. Verse 47 says, "All that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." So here was a 12-year-old boy that had great understanding of God's will. He already had been filled with much knowledge of the will of his Father, in spiritual understanding and wisdom. And it says in verse 52 that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He grew in that wisdom. So even at the age of 12, he had already sought much and had grown much in that kind of wisdom, and continued to do so from that point onward. And so we have that example of Christ even as a young person. And so our young people here can consider that. And several of our young people here now are already past 12, nearing 12, past 12. But whatever side of 12 we're on, we can see a very good example in Christ that from youth and on upward, whatever age we are, we need to be seeking after this wisdom of God so that we can understand his will and do it. In Job chapter 12, verse 12, this is the way it should be. There are many of us now that are far past 12. but what should it be like with us? I mean, so if you're young, you should be seeking after the wisdom of God to know His will and to be able to walk worthy of Him and to walk pleasing. If we've been around for quite a while and some for many decades, Job 12, verse 12 says, "With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days is understanding." Should it be true, if we are seeking God like we ought to, that when the older we are, that we would have even more of that wisdom? And yes, that should be the case. Well, that will be the case if we fulfill the conditions that God has set for us. For example, in James chapter 1 and verse 5, we find this encouragement and a promise from God. James 1 and verse 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Well, that goes along with what he says in Matthew 7, 7 and 8. If we seek, we'll find. If we ask, it will be given. If we knock, it will be open to us. So there is that condition. If we seek, God promises we'll find. And if we seek his wisdom and ask God for that, he says it will be given to him. If any of us lack wisdom, well, do any of us lack wisdom? We should be lacking less than we used to be lacking, but we still need more, don't we? We need to be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Colossians 1 verse 9, as we read it a moment ago. Well, are we there yet? No, we need to continue to grow in that. And so we need to ask God for that. We need to seek it and ask Him for it, and He'll give that. This is the encouragement that we have in Psalm 90 when He talks about the lifespan of man. In Psalm 90 and verse 10, he says, "The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away." So we are here but for a short time, and it may be 70, 80 years, and some even past that, but it's not going to be many years that we're here, and then we do fly away. And in verse 12, then what do we do with the time that we've been given? It is short. We're going to be leaving this world after only a very short time. As James 4 says, our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So what do we do with that vapor of a life that we have, these few years that we may be given here? In verse 12, he says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." We only have this short time while we're here to learn the will of God, to know it, to understand it, and to be able to live that. We need wisdom to do that. And so that's what we need to be applying our hearts unto. And so as we do grow older in years, if that's what we're doing, if we have numbered our days and we're applying our hearts unto wisdom, then if we looked at Psalm 119 in verses 97 through 100, this is what can happen with that process. "Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day." See, it's not going to happen if we're just spending a little bit of time or effort in this, but if we are giving ourselves to seeking God and living for Him this way and meditating on His Word all the day, day and night, then in verse 98 he says, "Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts." So we can grow much in the wisdom of God. We can be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, as He says. So there's the kind of situation that we desire to have as we grow older, that we would be filled with His wisdom like this. So if we seek after it, that can happen. And so we need to apply our hearts unto it. As we consider the purpose of God, He tells us His purpose in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, when He gives us that great promise in verse 28, where He says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." What is that purpose? Verse 29, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." To be conformed to the image of His Son. There's the purpose of God. He's working all things together for our good if we love Him and we keep His commandments. That's how we know we love Him. And if we're called according to that purpose, then we are going to be able to be conformed to the image of His Son. So we need wisdom in that kind of growth as we're striving to be conformed to the image of His Son. Well, there's several things that have to take place for us to grow in that wisdom. I mean, are we going to be from where we are now spiritually, are we going to be like Christ and grow to be conformed to His image without having the wisdom to understand and know His steps that He walked in, to know what His heart is like? Well, if we look at Ephesians chapter 3, he's telling us what we need to have and how much growth we need to have in our inner man for that to happen. We see another prayer, just like we read one of Paul's prayers for his brethren in Colossians 1, 9 through 11. This is very similar here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. He says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." Well, to be conformed to the image of His Son, to be filled with all the fullness of God, that's the same purpose. There's God's purpose. We need wisdom for that. We need to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. We need to comprehend its breadth, its length, its depth, and height. Do we need wisdom to be able to comprehend that? We need a lot of wisdom to be able to understand His heart, His love, and then to have that in us. And so we need to have that wisdom for God's purpose. In Proverbs chapter 15, we learn one of the things that we have to do if we're going to gain that kind of wisdom. One of its conditions, Proverbs 15, 31 and 32. "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." So what's one of the conditions that we have to grow in that wisdom and understanding that God is calling us to have? Well, we need to hear this reproof of life. And if we do, we're going to grow in that wisdom and understanding. If we refuse it, he says, then we're despising our own soul. So we have a choice about the correction from God's Word, because it will correct us. Whenever we're reading His Word, it's going to be telling us and reminding us of all kinds of things that are wrong with us, that we need to grow in, that we need to change. If we don't like hearing that we need to make improvements, that we need to change things in our lives, well, then we're not going to be wanting to go to God's Word. We're going to not listen to that. But then we're going to be despising our own soul. How is it helping us to stay exactly like we are and not to grow anymore? That's not going to help us. That's not going to enable us to accomplish God's purpose. That's not going to glorify God. We're going to be despising our own soul. We're going to be spiritually the one suffering for that choice if we won't listen to His correction. That's why He tells us in James 1, 22 through 25, to not be hearers of the Word only, but doers of the Word. And says we need to not be like that one who looks at his face in a glass and then straightway goes his way and forgets what manner of man he was. We need to look into this perfect law of liberty and continue therein and not be a forgetful hearer, so we can be blessed in our deeds. So we got to look into this mirror, and the mirror does correct us. The mirror says, here's what's wrong with you. Here's what you need to work on. Here's what you need to grow in. So we have to receive that correction. We see this also in Proverbs 19 and verse 25. "Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that has understanding, and he will understand knowledge." So the more we receive of God's correction, His reproof, the more we're going to grow in that understanding and wisdom that we need to fulfill the purpose of God, to be filled with all of His fullness, to be conformed to the image of His Son. Let's turn to Ephesians again, this time to chapter 5, the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." We've seen some things already tonight that are on that subject of these three verses. redeeming the time because the days are evil. How does that compare with numbering our days and applying our hearts unto wisdom? That goes right along with that, doesn't it? And then he says again that we need to not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Does that sound like what we read a while ago in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, that we need to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding? So we should not be unwise. We need to understand his will and to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That means we need to be looking all around. We need to be looking all around on guard for our souls, and we need wisdom so that we can do that and please him in all things. Romans chapter 16, verses 19 and 20. Romans 16, 19 and 20. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. He would have us to be wise unto that which is good, simple concerning that which is evil. So to be able to know all the ins and outs and how to do wicked things, we should be ignorant of those things. That's an area that we should be very simple-minded in. But we shouldn't be simple-minded when it comes to knowing how to be righteous and knowing how to do the will of God. We need to be wise concerning that which is good. We need a lot of wisdom to be able to do what's good in the sight of God, to accomplish his will. James chapter 1, we read from verse 5 a while ago, but let's go back there to James chapter 1 and see a little bit more of this context, because now he's going to be talking about the pathway of spiritual growth. James chapter 1, starting in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Well, there we're seeing God's purpose described again. We saw it a while ago in Romans 8:29, to be conformed to the image of his Son. And we saw it there in Ephesians 3:19, to be filled with all the fullness of God. Here he's describing it as being perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Wanting means lacking. We shouldn't be lacking in anything, spiritually speaking. We need to be perfect, that is complete and entire, lacking nothing. That's God's purpose. Well, that's what Christ was like, and we need to be like him in all things. Well, how are we going to get there? Are we there yet? We're not there yet, but we need to be striving for that, and how are we going to get there? How are we going to grow spiritually? What's the pathway to get there? Well, here he speaks about patience. We need to let patience have her perfect work so that we may be complete and entire, wanting nothing. Are we going to be able to do that without patience? And that word means endurance. In fact, a little bit further down, he says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. In verse 12, he says that when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. We have to endure temptation. So we need endurance for this spiritual battle that we're in and in order to grow spiritually. Well, how do we grow in patience, that endurance? Is there a shortcut? Do we just ask for it and then the Lord just drops patience on top of us or in us somehow without any process to it? It doesn't work that way. He tells us how it happens, how God gives it to us, and we have to go through a process to get that. The trying of our faith worketh patience. So if we're going to have more patience, what's going to come along with it? More trials on our faith. If we're going to say, well, I vote for having more patience, I want to have more endurance, but I want to skip the trials on my faith that I need to get that. Well, it doesn't work that way. That's not how it's going to be. Which is the reason why he starts in verse 2 saying when we fall into divers temptations, when we have those trials on our faith, are we supposed to despise that? Are we supposed to just say, here comes another trial and not want to have the endurance or be willing to have the endurance to get through that trial on our faith? When we look at it with understanding, knowing this, I mean, this is our root. You remember the stony ground, the ones who fall away during time of temptation, they're the ones that don't have this root. They don't have this understanding of the process and what it's about and what it's for. We're going to be scorched with the heat of those temptations and those tribulations because of the Word of God. When that happens, if we have that root knowing its purpose, we can count it all joy when we fall into those things. It should give us joy to know, with the Lord's strength and help, I'm going to endure this, and then I'm going to have more endurance. And then as I have more endurance, I'm going to be more towards being spiritually complete and entire, lacking nothing. I'm going to grow spiritually as a result of this if I bear up under it. And with God's help, with Him there, I can. And if that's the way we're looking at it, then we will be able to count it joy in every one of those situations. That's how we're going to grow. But do we need wisdom to endure those trials on our faith, to get through those things? And this happens in our lives, that we have many things that try us and many things that are very painful for us to go through. But as we are facing those things, do we have the wisdom that we need, or do we need more of that? And it's not by accident or happenstance or coincidence, however you want to put it, that verse 5 comes, if any of you lack wisdom. We read that a little bit ago. I mean, is there a chapter break between verses 4 and 5? Why is it that immediately after talking about letting patience have her perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, that he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It's because we need wisdom to endure those trials on our faith. We need to be wise to get through those things so that we do count it all joy, and so that we don't fall to the temptations, but rather that we endure them so we can have that crown of life that he has promised to them that love him, as we saw in verse 12. And that's why in verse 6 he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We can't doubt his promise if we're seeking for it and asking for that wisdom that we need when God has promised that. But we do have to seek. We do have to meet those conditions. We have to receive correction. We have to ask in order and seek in order to find and have that given to us. But we can see in this context that we really need that wisdom of God to endure the trials on our faith so that we can please Him in all things. Well, one of the things that growing in the parts of God's love so that we are complete and entire, lacking nothing, what that will enable us to do as all evil is purged from our hearts and we're formed in all the parts of His love, our heart will then be the source of how much good versus how much evil. If the evil's purged out and we're spiritually complete, we're going to be formed in all the parts of the love of God, and then we're going to be prepared so much better to be able to resist temptation. And in fact, James chapter 3 says that very thing in the first two verses. James 3, 1 and 2 says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. That tells us what our most difficult job is going to be, to bridle our tongues. Now, he tells us in chapter 1, at the end of chapter 1, if we don't bridle our tongues, our religion is in vain. But that's the most difficult job or task that we have to do, to be able to bridle our tongues so that we're not committing any offense. And that's not just meaning somebody didn't like what we say. A lot of people didn't like what Jesus said, did they? And they still don't. And that's because Jesus spoke God's truth. And if we speak that truth in love, there's still going to be people that are going to hate to hear that. And they will be our enemies on account of it. He's not talking about that when he says don't offend in word, meaning make sure that there's nothing you ever say that nobody's going to dislike. But that word offend means a trap stick, when causing somebody to be ensnared in sin. And see, then we are at fault in that case. So that's what he's speaking about. That's what that word means. So this would be when we have fault in the words that we speak, where we're causing someone else to stumble because of not having our tongues bridled like we should and knowing how to speak as we should. If we're able to bridle our tongues, what does he say that we're able to do with the whole body? The one who's able to bridle the tongue, he says, is the complete man and able to bridle the whole body. Well, if we are bridling our tongues and our whole body, then how many of God's commandments are we going to be able to do? How many will we be disobeying at that point? So that shows the connection with growing spiritually to be complete and being able to overcome temptation. That's what's going to equip us to do that. We need lots of wisdom for that purpose that God has given to us. Let's go down a little bit further here in James 3. In verse 8, he says, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." Well, we may not be able to tame it, but can we bridle it? He says we can. And so in verse 9, he says, "Therewith blessed be God, even the Father, and therewith cursed we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same time, same place, sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Well, we need to have only one kind of thing coming out of our mouth, only what is good, which, as we know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45 says that. So if we only have good in our hearts, if we're complete in our in God's love in our hearts, then we're only going to have that good to come out of that treasure of the heart and speak good things without that mixture. Right now, we may still have a bit of a mixture there where we say some good things, but sometimes some things come out that shouldn't. Well, we need to, that these things ought not so to be. We don't need to have that mixture there. We need to have all the evil out and only have the good there. Well, we need wisdom then, don't we? Verse 13 says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you?" Is it by accident now that he goes back to that subject of wisdom? Just like in chapter 1, after showing us what our goal is spiritually, he immediately encourages us to ask God for more wisdom. Well, now after showing us what is the task for bridling our tongue, then he goes right there to that point about seeking God's wisdom again in verse 13. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." There's wisdom again. Verse 14, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish." There's the wrong kind of wisdom. And so he says in verse 16, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." There is the wisdom from God that we need so that we can bridle our tongue, so that we can bridle our whole body, so that we can accomplish His purpose in all things. We need that wisdom to accomplish this purpose of God. Well, that's going to enable us to overcome temptation through our tongues, through everything, if we have that spiritual growth that we need. But that wisdom then will also help us when those temptations come to see what's coming down the road. Now, we're not going to be able to foretell the future, but when we are in certain circumstances with wisdom, we can see what those circumstances are likely to lead to in terms of temptation and be prepared for that. This is what God teaches us in Proverbs 22, and verse 3. This is one of those Proverbs that He actually repeats verbatim. This is in Proverbs 22, verse 3, also in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 12. Same proverb given two times in the book, which underscores its importance. Proverbs 22, 3. "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Well, here is, this word means to see when he says foresees, but we can see it when we're talking about foresee, that we're seeing it ahead of time. Well, that's certainly implied there, because here's the one that is prudent. He sees that evil and he hides himself. We get away from it before it's able to overcome us. But someone that doesn't have that wisdom and prudence are going to pass on that temptation is coming up ahead. They're going to pass on and they're going to fall to it. And then they're going to end up being punished. So if we have God's wisdom like we need to in our circumstances, we can see the kinds of temptations that are going to be on that road that we're on. And then if we are prudent, we're going to make sure that we stay away from that, that we'll hide ourselves from those situations that are going to bring us those temptations. That's going to help us to deal with that so that we don't fall to sin. And then in Psalm 119, verses 101 through 105, we see some more of what we need for that wisdom to overcome temptation. Psalm 119, in fact, we read a little while ago, verses 97 through 100. Let's look at 101 to 105. He says, "I've refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word." So in order to keep God's word, what do we have to do with our feet? We have to refrain our feet from every evil way. Does that mean, or does that require us to be able to foresee the evil that would be there if our feet are on a particular path, if they stay there? Yes, but we need to make sure our feet are refrained from every evil way so that we may keep God's word. Verse 102, "I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We have to love that light of God's word and let that light our way and put our feet on that road and hate every false way. And if we do that and seek for God's wisdom, we'll have that wisdom we need to overcome temptation. We're going to close with some verses in Proverbs chapter 4 here tonight. Proverbs chapter 4. This chapter begins with Solomon recounting the instruction that he received from his father that he's passing on to all of us for us to listen to. Verse 5, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. And she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." And then as we go through that chapter and get towards the end of it, he's going to talk about the feet that were our feet in the road that they're walking on. He says in verse 15 or verse 14, "Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away." And then a little bit further down, he's going to show us the path of the righteous in verse 18. "But the path of the just is the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." He starts the chapter with wisdom being the principal thing that we need to get. And that is the wisdom from God that will enable us to ponder the path of our feet, to see the road that they're on, to be able to keep them on the right road and not turn from the right hand nor to the left, so we can fulfill the purpose of God that He has for us. So may we all seek that wisdom more and more every day and do better as we grow in that wisdom to be able to accomplish the will of God and walk worthy of Him unto all pleasing. If you are not yet a Christian, tonight we encourage you at this time to take heed to the Lord's invitation, respond to it by repenting and being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Or if you are a member of the Lord's body and need to repent of sin or need the prayers and encouragement of your brethren here tonight, this is an opportunity for you also. Anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation tonight, won't you please do so right now while we stand and sing.